Hi everyone, Mark Connor here. Always good to be sharing at Bayside. Hope you've had a good week and looking forward to our time together today. It's Father's Day weekend, time every year to honour the dads. And so this is a pretty happy day for most people, for dads and for kids and families celebrating together. And so happy Father's Day to all of the dads amongst us. I'm also aware that this is not always a happy day for some. You know, maybe you wanted to be a dad and that hasn't happened for some reason, or maybe you had an absent or even an abusive father, or maybe you didn't even know who your dad was. You know, my dad himself was an orphan and passed away at the age of 92 and never knew who his dad was. And so maybe for you, this is a little bit more of a difficult day. And so I just want to acknowledge that and mention that our thoughts and prayers are with you for comfort and strength and peace at this time. Of course, if you've got kids, you probably had one of them say, "When's Kids Day?" Well, of course, Kids Day is every day, isn't it? But this weekend, we're honoring all of the dads. And so that's really cool. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Ephesians 6 today, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians 5, the author, Paul, has talked a bit about marriages, and now he's talking about families. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4 in the New Living Translation says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. You will have a long life on the earth." Fathers, or that Greek word could actually include parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. There's some really good wisdom there for families. And, you know, today I realize families come in all shapes and sizes. You know, the nuclear family, mum and dad, two kids, is not always the norm. In fact, it's often in the minority today. We have singles, we have young adults, we've got seniors, we've got grandparents, we've got single again people, blended families. You know, one in three marriages in Australia is a remarriage or a second or third marriage. And so there's a lot of blended families today. And so whatever shape or size your family comes in, some great wisdom here, you know, for kids to honor and to obey our parents. There's some promises there. And then for parents, are you a parent today, a mom or a dad? You know, you can become a parent in an instant, can't you? But the art of parenting takes a lifetime to learn. And so, you know, kids arrive, no instruction manual, you know, so we've got to get some wisdom from other people, from our own experiences, and also from God's word. And so Paul is telling us as parents to consider the way we treat our children, to make sure that we're avoiding frustrating them by the way we treat them, and to have appropriate instruction and discipline. And so today's message is called Lessons from the World's Greatest Dad. Not me. I am a father. We have three kids. But lessons from the world's greatest dad. We're going to talk about God as Father today. And you know, when you think of God, there are many different images or metaphors that the Bible uses for God. One of them is God as Father, the perfect parent. You know, it doesn't matter what your natural father was like. God wants to be the perfect dad to you and us as his children. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is just what we are." And so we're going to learn some lessons today from God as parent. Let me preface this by saying God is not male. You know, the image of God is not male. It's not male over female. It's actually male and female. In fact, it takes men and women to reflect the full image and nature of God. In fact, in the Bible, there's some feminine images of God. You know, in the Old Testament, Isaiah talks about God as a mother bear robbed of her cubs. Yeah, you don't want to face a mother bear angry, and God can get upset at times. Jesus talks about himself as a mother hen. He would have loved to have gathered Jerusalem to himself, a feminine image. Paul, when talking about leadership, talks about a nursing mother. And so this is pretty amazing for a patriarchal society, but it's important for us to realize God is not male. God as Father is simply one picture, one metaphor of God. God is spirit, And spirit actually transcends gender. And so let's look at some lessons from the world's greatest dad. There's some good advice here if you're a dad, but also for mums, for single parents. In fact, all of us can benefit from our message today as we seek to improve all of our relationships at home, at work, at school, as well as in church. So what do great dads do? We're going to look at five things that great dads do using God as our model, as our example today. Number one is to love unconditionally. To love unconditionally. You know, God is love. It's the very core of God's nature. And God's love for us is not just a feeling. It does have feeling, but it's a choice to do what's best for us, to act in our best interest, desiring our ultimate good. You know, the word unconditional isn't used in the Bible, but the concept is very, very biblical. You know, God's love for you, for me today, it's not based on our performance. It's not based on any particular conditions that we have to meet. God simply chooses to love us, often despite our mistakes and our weaknesses. Romans 5 verse 8, Paul puts it this way, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Notice that God didn't wait for us to get our act together or to perform it a certain way or to be a certain amount of good behavior. No, while we were still doing our own thing, living contrary to his desires, he chose to love us. I really love that. You know, God's first children, Adam and Eve, that they actually disobeyed God. He didn't destroy them. Sure, he was disappointed. There was some discipline, but he moved towards them in a loving manner. Probably the story of the prodigal son's the best illustration that Jesus could give of the gospel and God's love for us as a father. You know the story, the prodigal goes off and wastes all his money, lives a pretty high life and riotous living, and the boy eventually comes home. And think of all the things the dad could have said, like, where's the money? Or, I told you so. Or, I hope you didn't get anyone pregnant. Or, man, you smell like a pig. But no, the father doesn't say any of those things. His greatest concern was for his son, and his greatest joy was to have his son back home. And so God, as parent, loves us unconditionally. He's patient. He's slow to anger. He's forgiving. We're told that nothing can separate us from his love. And so that's a great sense of security for us as children of God today, to know that God loves us unconditionally. You know, my parents, I'm thankful that they love me. I wasn't a perfect kid. I know that might be surprising to you. Sometimes people think preachers' kids get an extra holiness gene. It's not true. I was mischievous. I was a troublemaker. And despite my angelic appearance, I got into a lot of trouble as a kid. I didn't always please my parents, but you know what? They loved me no matter what. And that creates a lot of great security for a child. If you ask me about my kids, I'd say line up all the kids in the world and I'll pick my three kids. They're the best three kids on the planet. I love them more than anything. If you ask me, have they ever done anything wrong? I'd go, well, how long have you got? Of course they have. They've done things that maybe I wouldn't have liked them to do, but I love them no matter what. And so for dads today, dads and mums, I want to encourage you to model your parenting after Father God, to adopt a loving stance towards your children, no matter what, not based on their performance, which creates a sense of fear and uncertainty and insecurity. Never give up on your kids, wherever they may be today, wherever they are on their journey. Love them unconditionally. Number two, affirm frequently. Affirm frequently. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is in Matthew 3, where after Jesus' baptism, Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens open up. The Spirit of God descends on Jesus and a voice from heaven says this, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." You know, Jesus hasn't preached a sermon yet. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't trained any disciples. He hasn't done anything as far as his ministry was to unfold over the next couple of years. But here, coming out of those waters of baptism, the Father bursts out of heaven and says, "That's my boy. I'm really pleased with him." Is God the Father modeling another important skill, not just to love unconditionally, but to affirm frequently? It's so important. You know, Jesus was going to have a lot of criticism, a lot of opposition, but the strength of the affirmation he received from Father God was amazing. I'm also thankful for my parents, for the encouragement and affirmation they gave me. Funny story, my mum played the piano, my dad played the piano, and my sister played the piano. And so they were keen for me to learn the piano, but I wasn't interested. You know, they didn't pressure me to learn to play the piano. And so I didn't till about age 13 or 14. I heard a person playing piano in our church. His name was Mike. And I said, I want to be like Mike. And so I actually started learning the piano and I did really well. But notice that they tried to discover my interest. You know, parents, not every kid is musical. Not every kid is academic. Not every kid is necessarily athletic. And so we want to discover what they're good at, what they're passionate about, and encourage them in those areas. Now there's a limit to this. I'm not saying that, you know, if your kid says, sorry, I'm not taking out the rubbish today, it's not really my passion. No, there's some things we just do because that's what we need to do. But as far as our direction in life, every kid has a unique shape, has a unique calling. And as parents, we don't want to live our lives through them. We want to discover what they're good at, what they're wired to do, and help them be what they were created to be. And so affirm your kids frequently. You know, as authority figures, we have great power, great influence. Our words can build up or tear down. And so make sure your words are affirming and encouraging your kids. See the potential in them, and not just the way they are and the way they used to be, but see what they can become. Our words are very powerful. Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so let's make sure that we catch our kids doing something right. You know, sometimes the best way to get mom or dad's attention is to do something wrong. Now, catch your kids doing something right. Affirm them, encourage them. You know, I was attending a funeral recently and I was listening to some of the tributes and I was thinking, wow, amazing tributes. I wonder if that person knew that while they were alive. You know, make sure that you let your kids know how much you love them, encourage them. When they bring home that report card with an A, B, and a D, what are you going to talk about? Don't start with a D, start with the A. Hey, you really do well at that subject. Do you like it? Must be interesting for you. Don't look at the weaknesses first. Affirm the strengths. Affirm your kids frequently. Thirdly, the third thing we learn from Father God is to instruct clearly. You know, God gives clear instructions for our benefit. He doesn't leave us to figure out life by ourselves. He gave Adam and Eve some clear instructions. He gave Israel clear details of how to live a life that would flourish. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, I've given you a choice between life and death, blessings and cursings. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants may live. And so God gives clear expectations, outlines the consequences, and then he follows through consistently. It's so really important that as a dad or as a mum, that we're consistent with the instructions that we give our kids and our follow-up. And it's not just about rules. You know, rules without relationship often leads to rebellion. But it is important to have some clear rules so kids have some security. You know, imagine if there were no speed signs on the road, you know, and so, you know, you're in a 25 kilometer zone and someone's going 110 and the police are just smiling and waving, you know, you're in a 100 zone and someone's going 25 and they pull you over and give you a ticket. No, thankfully there are some road lines, there are some speed signs, there's some traffic signals. All of those rules are not there to constrict us. They're actually there to keep us safe. And God's instructions are the same way. And so it's really important that we are clear with expectations for our children and then consistent in our follow-up. And of course, our example is really important. You know, kids tend to do what they see. If I say to my kids, don't yell, you know, I'm saying the right thing, but they watch the way we live. And so don't just give good advice. Make sure you're modeling the kind of life you're wanting them to live. A couple more. Number four is to discipline lovingly. You know, God is a loving God, but he also disciplines us. And there's consequences for the choices that we make. Hebrews 12:6, my dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. That's from the Message Bible. And so God gives us instructions for our good. And then when we don't follow those instructions, there's consequences. Mums and dads, it's important that we do the same for our children. Sometimes unless there's some painful consequences for disobedience, kids don't learn. My parents disciplined me. Back in the day when you could still spank kids, my dad used to sometimes discipline me with a belt and about half kill me. And sometimes he'd save up all my sins and all my disobediences. And I'd say, don't save them up and half kill me. And then that lovely phrase, this hurts me more than it's going to hurt you. that doesn't work. Today we need to discipline with wisdom, and we need to avoid abuse and harsh punishment and not disciplining in anger. Discipline needs to be appropriate for the age of the child. It's going to change as they grow up. We need to discipline defiance more than childishness. Kids will spill things, they will break things, they'll forget things, they'll wet things. And so, kids will be kids. We discipline defiance, not childishness. It's important to follow through with your discipline. Empty threats or delayed punishments. If you do that one more time, if you say that 10 times, kids kind of learn that it doesn't really matter. As I said, explain the reason for the discipline. Discipline in love, not in anger. Discipline's meant to shape the will, not crush the spirit. Don't favor one child over another. That causes a lot of damage. And mums and dads, if you are both parenting together, act in unity. Disagree privately if you need to. And then dads and mums, apologize when you fail. Sometimes we get it wrong. And to apologize is really important. Number five, our fifth and final skill is to empower fully. God is a releasing, not a controlling parent. He empowers us and he's given us a free will. We see God with Adam and Eve. He gave them an ability to choose. They weren't made as robots just to do what he pre-programmed them to do. No, they had free will. The prodigal son, the father let the son go and make those choices. And as kids grow up, as parents, we have to empower them to make their own decisions and be responsible for their own lives. Romans 14 verse 12 says, each of us will give a personal account to God. So as kids grow, they become responsible for their own lives. Now again, we've got to time this. You don't let your two-year-old out with a lawnmower by themselves. That's too soon. On the other hand, if you're still trying to brush your teenager's teeth, well, you probably need to let go a little bit. There's an appropriate timing of empowering and letting go for them to be responsible for their own lives. And at that point, we care for them, we'll seek to influence them, we'll pray for them, but we have to gradually let our children go. Maybe you've seen that movie, Finding Nemo. Gotta let Nemo go. And that's a little scary, a little dangerous, but we have to trust that the seeds we've planted will bear good fruit. Sometimes I think parents carry inappropriate guilt and condemnation as their kids grow up, and they maybe make different choices than you would make. If that's the case, then God was a really bad parent, because how many know Adam and Eve made some poor choices? It didn't make God a bad parent. God did everything. He loved them unconditionally. He affirmed them. God was a great parent. That didn't mean that Adam and Eve lived perfect lives. No, they didn't. Jesus was a great leader, but even one of his 12, Judas, betrayed him. We can't control what people will do and what choices they will make. They're all on their own journey, and we have to be okay with that. Quite a number of years ago, we've got three kids, and quite a few years ago, my oldest son was on staff as a youth pastor at the church we were leading, full on for God. Our second son was grappling with a whole bunch of questions about God and faith and hell, and was kind of in an agnostic space, not even sure that God is real. And then our daughter was kind of in between. Yeah, she would come to church occasionally. In fact, she came along to a young adults event once, and someone said, oh, what's your name? And she said, Natasha. And they said, oh, Natasha Connor. And she said, Dad, I think they thought because I was a conner, I must be on staff. And then I said, oh, no, look, I just come occasionally. And then she said, I could tell in their head they're thinking I'm backslidden. Can't I just be in the middle somewhere? So we've got our oldest son on staff, our daughter just kind of figuring out her faith, and our second son, not even sure that God's real. I remember praying one morning as a dad, as a parent, praying for my three kids, and they're all at different points in their faith journey. I'm going, God, you know, kind of what's happening? We've done our best. We've parented them. And I just paused for a moment. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I kind of felt God say, welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. God's got people all over the planet at different spaces, some full on for him, some just doing life and including him, and others not even sure he's real. And that's just the way life is, and we need to love them. And so I just made a choice. I'm going to love each of my kids. They're individual. They're on their own journey. They're making their own choices, but they're all my kids, and I'm going to love them with all of my heart. And so that's part of our job as parents, is to empower them fully. And so let's wrap this up. God is the greatest dad. Doesn't matter what your dad was like, God is the perfect father. He loves us unconditionally. He affirms us frequently. He instructs us clearly. He disciplines us lovingly when we need it. And he empowers us fully. And so for all the dads here today, hey, good on you for being a dad. For the mums also, thank you for all you're doing for your kids. But we can all do a little bit better. We can learn from Father God. And so it's never too late. You might look back and say, hey, I've made some mistakes. You know, we can't go back and change how we've started. But today we can begin being an even better parent. And so as you look at those five skills, I'm not here on this Father's Day weekend to give you five more things to do, but I wonder which one could use a little bit more intentionality from you at this season in your parenting. Is it loving your kids unconditionally? Is it affirming them a little more? Is it a little clearer instructions? Is it thinking about the discipline that's appropriate? Is it simply empowering them and letting them be themselves, letting them make their own choices at the right time? You know, for followers of Jesus today, we've got a great God, a great dad, a father who loves us in all of these ways. Maybe you're here today listening to this message and you're not even sure if there is a God. You know, you can know God personally and intimately and know that joy of being his child today. God's the best dad. And I pray that you'll have that experience with him. Let's pray. God, today, Father's Day weekend, happy Father's Day for all of the dads. Lord, for those that find this a bit of a difficult day, I pray for comfort and strength for them today. I pray for all the dads and mums, all the parents, that you would help us to parent our children like you parent us, that we would love them unconditionally, we'd affirm them regularly, we'd instruct clearly, we'd be loving in our discipline, and we'd learn to empower, to let go, and allow them to be who they've been called to be. I pray for all of us today. And I pray for those particularly that may not know you personally, that right now you would make yourself real to them, reveal yourself to them, come into their life and let them know what it is to be a child of God loved by you. I pray a blessing on all the families, all the singles, all the young adults, all the seniors, all the grandparents today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you, Bayside. I really enjoyed being with you today. Thanks very much.